This is the Simply Love Jesus podcast, where we explore life and faith through the lens of one question, which is, what does it mean to simply love Jesus? My name is Caleb, and I am joined here today with one of our new podcast hosts, Mr. Adrian Lasser. Bro, how you feeling today?
Feeling good, bro. Yeah, bro. Jesus is good, man. He's always good, always on time.
Since Adrian is going to be taking more of a front seat into our podcast, I want to take time and take the opportunity to be able to dive into more about his life, his story, and just have a conversation. You guys are familiar with our segment called Conversations. And so today we're going to do another segment of Conversations by diving into a conversation with Adrian. And so that being said, Adrian, in our last podcast, you talked about how you said your dad used to be a pastor, right? So tell us more about that, and tell us, and while you're doing that, just a little bit about your life and what your dynamic was growing up in your house, and yeah, just tell us a little bit about your childhood.
My dad was a youth minister for a good amount of years, for 20. I can remember always going to, when they would have youth Sundays, and I'm not too sure, my memory is a little fuzzy, but just being around the youth a lot and what he did as a youth pastor there. And that was his main thing, but when it wasn't those Sundays or any events going on with that, he's one of the sons of the churches. Sometimes he would be a guest. He would speak sometimes. And then after he left the church, he wanted to become a pastor of a church. So he became a guest preacher. He's a preacher at other places. We go along and tag along. Growing up with that, it was a lot of time at the church. So my social life was the church. So friends I made at church that stayed after. They had parents that were just as committed as my dad. Kids that had their parents on serving in different ministries. That's what that was. I grew up Southern Baptist. So church starts very early in the morning with Sunday school. And then we'll have an intermission, and then go to church, and then the kids break to go to their church, and then we'll reconvene. And then most of the times, especially during the fall time, we would get on the church bus to go to other churches. So it was like kind of an all day thing from dusk to dawn. And that's pretty much like my childhood on Sundays.
So do you feel like growing up, you said it yourself, you said that your social life was basically church. Do you feel like that had a more positive or more negative effect on you growing up?
Both. I think it had a positive effect as in keeping me out of a lot of trouble. I got in trouble, but more trouble that I could have gotten into. So that's the positive side of it. The negative side of it is that I wasn't able to, us being good news and carrying the gospel, we're supposed to be able to fellowship with believers and non-believers. So it's taking me, I'm comfortable with it now, but over a little over a decade, it's taking me time to change my perspective on how I see non-believers and even people that no longer, go to the church, or just being able to just be sensitive to human beings in general, whether they're inside the four walls or not. So that was the negative part about it. I wouldn't say it's so much negative. It's just that, it delayed the growth of being sociable with everybody else, because we're supposed to be, there for the widow, for the beggar, for,
So at what do you think that change, being able to go from, growing up in the church and then struggling to, for lack of better words, being like judgmental towards other people and being able to not struggling to socialize with people not only in the church, but socialize with people who aren't in the church. Do you feel like that change was part of your process of coming to really follow Jesus as your Lord, or do you feel like that was a result afterwards?
Honestly, and this has nothing to do with like anything church related. It was honestly sports for me.
Really?
So coming together with different people of races and creeds and having one common goal, which is to win a game. Just being around that, even though I didn't play much, but just even being around it and practice and being able to build that brotherhood with different people of different walks of life, that is what helped counterbalance it for me. But it still wasn't enough because I wasn't as heavily involved in sports as like my dad would want me to, knowing who he is. So it happened in small fragments because of sports, but also it happened, most of the majority of it happened afterwards, like when I went off to college, because I just stopped going to church and I just started, you know, doing like just like nothing reckless, but just like going, go see what the nightlife is like. And, you know, drinking a few beers here and there, or, you know, smoking or whatever, just like, just doing things that were, I guess, per se, or not, you know, I guess, like, biblically right. I would do that because I didn't have a chance. I felt I was restricted as a kid, which now that I look at it, I wasn't. I was actually being protected, most definitely.
Excuse me, having hiccups after eating food. I eat my food too fast. So do you feel like, because you said it wasn't until after you really went to college and part of sports that really helped you begin to not judge people and to integrate and to socialize. Do you feel like that, like, because what that makes me think of is it makes me think of how there are many Christians who, a lot of the ones who are most judgmental, the ones who are most cynical or cold, or the ones who lack compassion, are usually, I have found, the ones who, for lack of better words, play it safe. They stay in their little church bubble. They stay in, they're reading their Bible, they're doing their Bible studies. They're not actually in and with the people. And there's something about being in and with the people that gives you a certain amount of insight and compassion to other people. Do you feel like you saw that happen in your life? And you feel like that, even though not everything you did was honoring to God, but that time that you spent in and with the people did soften your heart more and actually help you more when you did really run after the Lord, that experience you drawed upon to actually give you more compassion and more love for people. You feel like that's right?
I'll say, yeah, you hit on a real good point. And that is definitely true. Unfortunately, I had to, you know, go that route, but it's turned out fortunate in a way that I can relate to not all walks of life, but many walks of life, because I'm not as judgmental and I'm more laid back and willing to listen, because I haven't been there to a very extent of a lot of people, but I know what a struggle is, and just not sweeping my own stuff underneath the rug allows me to see that, you know, because I have, you know, anxiety, or if I have addiction to something, addiction is a universal, the principle behind it is very universal. So if you're very compassionate and know how and become emotionally intelligent, you're not going to 100% know what the person is going through, but you know the principles behind it. There's always common principles behind human struggles. So once you're able to find that psychologically, you are able to more often and more consistent look at people as God image bearers and love them as that first, and not, you know, categorize them in different, you know, groups.
I mean, it just makes me wonder, like, you even touched on this earlier as well, where as we were talking, you're talking about how you said, yes, my time, as a short version, my time with people when you were almost doing your own thing, but you were in and with the people, that experience with the people is what gave you more compassion and what allowed you to see other people's lives in different perspectives. And it often makes me think, because you made this comment, you said, yeah, it's unfortunate that it happened that way. But as soon as you said that, it just made me think, yeah, but I really wish it's unfortunate that we don't create that opportunity for other Christians. A lot of churches or parents or pastors feel that the safest place to put people is kind of just, you know, they kind of just hold them close and they put them in the walls and they kind of, that's the safe space. When in reality, if you want to really grow somebody, if you're trying to grow people to spiritual maturity, what would it be like if someone facilitated that opportunity and encouraged them to be in and with the people, but discipled them so that they weren't making unwise choices or just off on their own or whatever? Like, I feel like as a church, man, how much more mature would believers be if we facilitated and discipled them through that process of actually encouraging them, be with the people, be in their spaces, be with them. Don't fall into temptation to sin, resist sin, but be in and with the people. And I think if young adults did that, they would have so much more grounds to being more and more like Jesus, you know? But that also leads me to kind of just the next thing I want to talk about is, tell us a little bit about your faith journey, in the sense of, like, was you choosing to follow Jesus kind of just all in one moment, or was it just like a gradual progression, or tell us a little bit about, like, that process. When did it become real for you?
Well, honestly, I've always thought it's been real ever since like 5, but because I just knew my dad was like, he never really pressured us on it, but it was common around the church for people to do it in between the ages of 5 and 7 or 4 to 7. But my thing of it was that I didn't want to go to hell and internally burn. Like, and I knew, like, I stayed in South Georgia, and this is back when, like, summer was summer. Like, I knew how hot it was during the summertime. I was like, yeah, no, I don't want that for eternity. So, like, I chose that as a kid with just that limited capacity. Like, I didn't want that. But so, like, it was, I guess you could say, real at that stage, at that mental stage. But, like, if you're talking about, like, taking ownership of it as myself, that wasn't really until, because I'm going to fast forward a lot of people because I talk long-winded. That wasn't really until 2018, honestly, because, like, up until the day I was born, 1992 to 2018, it's like I've been there, but it's more been like my parents' thing. But I still believe, so I knew who God was, and I still had a mustard seed of faith, but there was no intimacy there. It wasn't really until 2018 to where I came in contact with a Jewish woman that believed that Jesus died and rose. And I thought that was very interesting, because not many, because I don't run across too many people that said that, but she also stuck to her Jewish heritage. And she told me about her background, about how her husband was the catalyst for her believing in Jesus. So just us having that dialogue I was like, this is very interesting. And I was like, God really brought this person, you know, along that was training me while I was working at Starbucks to get me back into the church. So I got back into the church, went, rededicated my life back to Jesus. And that's when I started taking ownership of it for myself. And then 2020 was another stamp for a lot of people. It was just a time for me to face all of my demons, but also to know that, you know, some of the things that I was doing it really affected and hindered my relationship with Jesus is going more intimate with him. Because the more you go closer to him, the more responsibility you have to love on other people, to love yourself, and to be good news. So from 2020 to now, 2022, two-year increments. So over those spans of years has really been the greatest maturation for me.
There's so much to unpack there. So much to unpack. But I want to back up real quick to something you said early on, where you had said when you were little, at the most capacity that you had at the time, the way you compartmentalized it is just the idea of, well, I believed in Jesus because I just didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to go to hell. Like that was it. Do you feel like as you got older that your decisions to run after a very like me focused nature and just kind of do what I want and what I think is right, and you know, just kind of following what you think is best, do you feel like the original concepts that were taught to you as a kid, like it was essentially your idea of, well, believing in Jesus just means I won't go to hell, so now that I believe in Jesus, well, then I can just kind of do what I want. Do you feel like that kind of like played a role in that for you?
Yes and no, because of who my father was. As we got into high school, he didn't really push it on us that much because we was involved in sports and we was doing other things. So we weren't as heavy, and we still would go to church, but we wasn't doing it as much as when we was younger and didn't have a decision. You know what I mean? So like, It was more so my decision of feeling like I felt like I was missing out on something. Yep. So that was my thing, and I really wasn't missing out on anything, but that's how I felt.
Yeah, and so even with that, it's like you feel like you did it because you felt like you were missing out on something, and I wonder if part of the reason that may have happened would be because of when you were a kid, I wonder if part of the reason that it was that way, that you felt like you were missing out on something, you felt like there was something else out there, is because I wonder if part of the way that we were taught the gospel growing up made us think that, like, well, okay, that box is checked. There's nothing else to discover. If I've figured it all out here, then now there's other things I don't know about, and I got to go and explore those. But the reality is, it's so much bigger than that. The gospel is so much bigger than that. And in fact, it's like it's not nearly as short as just, well, you believe in Jesus, you don't go to hell. There you go. Like because I grew up with that almost same mentality as well, and I feel like it did us so much injustice and prevented us from seeing the full truth of the gospel to just have the 25% part of the truth in there. And I don't know, I feel it's part of my big kind of goal to just reshape how we communicate the gospel, including all of its vital, important truths, but communicating it in a way that actually honors and values the full truth of what the Bible teaches us about the gospel. That is not just about your eternal destination, but it's about the kingdom of God and about the eternal reality that we can bring to earth today. And when I saw the gospel that way, is it's not just something I believe in, it's something I become, then wow, I have a part that I play. I have a role that I take. There is so much more for me to discover about this whole gospel thing when I realize that it's like when I haven't figured it all out yet. And a lot of times people just kind of give up on church or whatever because they think they figured it all out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I guess to that point, I don't remember doing too much like outreach and like, you know, going into the community. I'm pretty sure I probably did like once or twice, but maybe more so my dad did that with my mom. But I didn't see that firsthand until, like, you know, I stumbled upon it myself, or just even just driving by and, you know, seeing someone on the street and just being like, so I was really protected, in a sense that, you know, I still had a, my innocence was still preserved, but at what cost to preserve my innocence for me to not be able to see someone struggling, because hope and despair are on two different opposite streets. And it only takes for hope to walk across the street to despair, for despair to turn into hope and to do it back and forth to other people. So I didn't really get that concept. The concept for me was that go to church, try to honor the Lord as best as I can. And all I heard about was, like, you know, God, Jesus, and like the Holy Spirit. But it was more of a trinity, and it felt like the Holy Spirit took more of a back seat, which is, we all know it's not the case. It's three in one. But it was God and Jesus talked about the most, and they didn't really expound upon what the Holy Spirit is and how he works through us. And I think that's where I'm at. Like, I started off with growing up, you know, being taught God. And we all know when people mention Jesus, they get offended. And, like, so 2018, I got reintroduced to Jesus. And now, and where I'm at now, I believe I'm getting introduced again to the Holy Spirit, but in a different way. Well, I think that just played out for me in a sense of that I got out of a relationship with someone that wasn't a believer, and I tried, you know, making it work, but I saw that it didn't. But in that, I was communicating to her like I need help, and like I was saying, like, I need to go back to church and X, Y, and Z, and, you know, possibly therapy. But she didn't understand the church aspect of it. And though she identified with another religion, she just only identified it because it was her parents' religion. But we didn't butt heads on religion. But it was just that, you know, it was just we was playing it very passive. Like, there was no growth there for me. But I longed and yearned for something. And for whether it was, I knew it was something I couldn't get, you know, as a substance or from another person. And then And then, you know, my trainer came along and we just started having a talk. And I'm just like, I feel like I want to go back to church. And then when I went back to church, that specific church was more, they talked about everything, but they was more emphasizing Jesus. And I believe that in that season, I needed to be there.
So as you've begun or continued to follow Jesus, become more like him, learn more about that, there's a huge piece of following Jesus and following God and growing closer to him that teaches you more about yourself. Like, the more you learn about God, the more you end up learning about yourself, especially if you're actually following God in a healthy way and you're following him in a healthy, you're not having an unhealthy relationship with God. And that's something we could talk about later, because there are unhealthy relationships with God. They're not what we think, you know. It doesn't look the same as unhealthy physical relationships, but there is a such thing as having an unhealthy relationship with God, usually because it's perpetuated by a overinflation of self and an overinflation of ourself and our own self-value and how important we think we are. Yeah. When we fall to sin and how down we get on each other. Yeah. So we'll talk about that a different time, about unhealthy relationships with God. But in a healthy relationship with God, you really learn so much more about yourself and who you are. And so in your journey with Jesus, what is one thing that you feel like you've learned about yourself and become more aware about yourself?
The one thing I've learned about myself that really doesn't take much to please me. I'm a very simplistic person. And I believe, you know, Jesus embodied that very well. Just the simplicity of, you know, just living. I thought growing up and where I came from, I wanted, you know, big houses or wanted the comfortability. Obviously, yes, I want comfortability financially, but like I don't have to have like this fancy house or have all these cars or a yacht or whatever. If that happens and God bless me with that, then like I'm very grateful for that. But that's no longer what I have my eyes set on. My eyes is more set on and being very simple and just enjoying life and knowing when to stop to smell the flowers and knowing when to, you know, just be on the go. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I feel like that's a good stopping point for today. And we'll pick it back up next week. But friends, thank you so much for hanging out with us and tuning into our podcast and what we got going on. Just a couple of updates, just for you to be aware. If you haven't ordered your copy of the Simply Love Jesus book, you can do so preferably on Amazon, mainly because if you order it through my website, I got to order copies. And then when they get here, then I ship you the copy. Amazon does it all itself. So, but you get our book on Amazon. And for those who have already ordered it, let us know how you've thought about it, what you've enjoyed, or what you may be learning from it. Another couple of updates. If you haven't already, please be sure give us a follow on our podcast, whether if you listen to Spotify or iTunes, be sure to subscribe. And if you are on iTunes, throw us a fancy review, you know, I mean, be honest, but you know, embellish it a little. We appreciate you so much. And we also appreciate Chattahoochee Food Works because that's where we're sitting today and enjoying this wonderful conversation. But friends, I hope you have an amazing week so far. I hope you've learned a little bit more about Adrian because we're going to hear more from him in the next couple weeks. We're just going to be able to begin to just bounce ideas off of each other and just talk about church and the Bible and God and just about his life. And I think that'll be great because it'll help prepare us just for our next series and prepare us for all the things we have coming up. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you're having a great day. Follow us on Instagram or on TikTok at SOJ Ministries and let us know how we can pray for you. Hope you have a wonderful day. See you guys later.
All right, guys. Y'all be good and have a blessed week.
Yeah. Whoop.